Tris, something?
Another minute, but you can start. I don't know how the last year of the video team is.
Okay, that's fine. All right. Hello. Welcome, everyone. I'm Fernando. I'm a Linux kind of network engineer at SUSE. And today, I'm here to talk about tunnels and lightweight tunnel infrastructure with NF tables. So let's start with the topic. So what's a lightweight tunnel? Well, it's something that has been around the kernel since 2015. It's not new. And it allows to, in essence, to attach encapsulation instructions to roots originally. We will go back to that later. And it has support in multiple kind of tunnels, like IP, VXLAN, Geneve, and many others. So why is this useful? This is useful for virtualized environment. If you are familiar with Kubernetes or environments with a lot of VMs, usually all the connection is tunneled. In enterprise networks, you have the machines, VMs or bare metal connected to switches, connected to a huge network, and it's common that you want to connect everything together. Or in Kubernetes, it's also quite common to have pod-to-pod or node-to-node communication tunneled. And also, there is a lot of work in virtualized networking, like OBS, that works through tunnels. So in essence, the initial support was something like was added there. You added the root to a specific endpoint, and you added some encapsulation instructions. So for example, here we are in the, this is a VXLAN, you add the ID, and you add the destination endpoint, and then the device that is going to handle this. So the good thing about this, and if you are familiar with VXLAN, is that usually, or with any tunnel actually, is that usually you will need to create one interface per tunnel that you create. So you have for, let's say, every endpoint that you want to connect, you have one tunnel interface that has a source, a destination, some options, and then on the other end, you have another tunnel with source, destination, and some options, and then the networking in the middle. The good thing is that this allows you to create a single device. It could be an IP, VXLAN, whatever, and that single device can be used for different endpoints. And this is super useful in Kubernetes, for example, when you need to create and manage a huge amount of interfaces, so you can reduce that amount of interfaces and, in essence, make it more simple and efficient. All right, so what's new? Why I'm talking about this in 2026, 11 years later? Well, we have added support to NFTTA and NFTables for it, and it's true that lightweight tunneling is not very well documented. It's hard to find documentation, how it works, how to configure it, and if you are an expert on virtualized networking, then it's easier, but usually, yeah, it's pretty hard to be able to figure out how to use it. So there is a low adoption rate, as I say, probably due to a lack of documentation. And I must disclaim that currently the documentation in NF tables is not that good. So that's on my side. I'm working on it, sorry. And I will try to, I have a patch ready to improve that documentation. And the thing is that in IP root, the implementation and configuration, it's sometimes not very compatible with Network Manager because Network Manager is touching also roots and other stuff. So there are conflicts and things sometimes doesn't work very well. So either you cannot use it or you need to drop Network Manager. And in this case, as the implementation in NF tables does not touch the roots, what it does is create a rule set of NF tables and inject the encapsulation instructions there. It's completely compatible with this kind of engines like Network Manager, Systemd, Networkd, and so on. So that's another good thing. Well, NF tables, it's going to be, the supporting NF table is more flexible because it's not dependent on roots anymore. You could match on any characteristic that you want to split the traffic, and it doesn't necessarily need to be the source and the destination. It could be the ID, or it could be whatever other stuff that you want to touch. And it allows you also to combine it with some features like the maps, the sets, dynamic sets, dynamic maps, and actually any NFTables expression that you want to use. And this helps you to, well, scale up and simplify the configuration from the system administrator point of view. So also, by the way, in NFT, this is an object. So it's not like a standard expression. It's an object statement. And what is good about this is that it supports the update operation. So imagine that you have one tunnel created with one tunnel template that we'll look into that later. And you want to update some of the fields configured. You can do it using the transaction system that NFTable support. So you won't have intermediate states like you will have, for example, in IP root because you are executing commands in a specific order. If you have a high flow of traffic, there could be some packets in the middle that suffer some drops or some connectivity issues. All right, so first let's look at what we did in the kernel. So this is the key piece of the work, which in essence, we just take the NFTunnel object information, we get the SKV when we have an evaluation. An evaluation is in essence a match. And we drop initially the DSD metadata that is attached to the SKV, and we put we get a reference of the metadata that we have generated, and we attach it to the SKV. And this sounds super simple, but well, first MD, it's a metadata structure. It's in essence it contains an IP tunnel info, and it parses all the information of the tunnel. And this comes from generic things like, as I say, source address, IPv4, IPv6, destination port, ID, TTL, or other stuff. But also the specifics of that tunnel. Let's see, for example, if you have Geneve, you know that you can have multiple options configured. If you have VXLAN, you have the GBP configure. So all of that is contained there. And the hard work that is doing NFTables is, in essence, when you from the user's space configure the tunnel, it validates all of that and makes sure that you are not configuring something wrong in the terms of that it makes sense, like you are not mixing IPv4 with IPv6, or you are not putting invalid values, and it's parsing all of that into the correct tunnel type and then inserting it. But as you saw before, attaching it to the SKV, it's kind of trivial, thanks to all the mechanisms that we already have, because actually without them, it would be quite complex. So let's look at a real NFT tunnel object. So this is a generic template. This is not. This could be used, for example, for any kind of tunnel, IPIP, VXLAN, Geneve, and so on, because it doesn't have specific options for it. But of course, this is not configuring any of the specific options. And if you want to configure, and the default will be whatever is defined on the driver of the tunnel. So if you want to configure it, we will look at it later. So in essence, we have a table. In that table, we create the object that will be the tunnel. We put the name, and we can define the ID. Source address and destination address. These examples are IPv4, but IPv6 is supported. And then the destination port and a TTL. That's it. We are going to look later on how to use this object, but there are variants. So as I say, if you want to define some of the options that are more specific to the tunnel type, like for example, the VXLAN GBP option, you need to add the section. So you add a small section under the tunnel definition, and you put VXLAN, GBP, in this case 100. And for Geneve, it will be the same. Geneve and the options configure. So, all right. What are the real world examples that we can deal with this kind of tunneling? So we have two VMs that are connected to each other. Like, for example, in a Kubernetes cluster, which are the nodes, then this VM has a VXLAN, and there are containers configured with a best pair to allow container communication with the host of the VM, with the guest VM, sorry. So here we will use the template to allow that encapsulation and be able to communicate. And the good thing is that if we have three or four containers, we could use the same BXLAN interface. We will need to create one per container. All right, so this will be the rule set for that specific scenario. As I say, we have the definition of the tunnel, and then we need to redirect the traffic to the tunnel and from the tunnel, because here we need to redirect from the container and to the container. So we, in essence, match the address, and that address will be the address configured on the containers. And after that, we define, right, we want to the tunnel object to kick in, and we define tunnel name, the name of the tunnel, and later we forward it to BXLAN 0. So BXLAN device will be able to look at the encapsulation instructions that are defined there and do proper encapsulation. But we also need to do something else. When we get the traffic from the other container, we need to do forward it to the best in the host, so it's actually it lands in the container. So you have traffic in the both ways. This, by the way, cool. If you use IP route to do this, you will need to use probably TC to redirect the traffic from the guest to the container when you are receiving it, because with a route alone, it's usually not enough. Another example that I'm not going to get in very much, it's the simple tunnel example. You have two VMs connected to a switch, connected to a network, and you create a VXLAN, and therefore you encapsulate the traffic between them. So let's look at a real example for this specific scenario. Right, so this is recorded with demo ASCII, with ASCII Cinema, so I'm going to explain what's happening. So first, I'm going to log into one of the VMs, because we need to configure both VMs. Right, so what we have done here, can you see the screen correctly, or should I make it bigger? Fine, okay. Yeah, so what we have along here is to create two namespaces.
Maybe make it a little bit bigger.
Okay, bigger.
It works for me, but I go
for right.
So
more. Okay. Okay, that's fine. So we have created two namespaces. Those namespaces have the best configures and so on, and we have used the, in essence, the rule set that we showed before, but instead of having only one address, we are having two addresses because both containers has different address. And in essence, yeah, this is the rule set. And now I'm going to log in the other machine to configure the other end. Okay, yeah, so it's configured, and now I'm going to ping from the containers to the other container using the tunnel, which should be happening soon. Yes. All right, so I'm going to namespace. This is done with namespace, but at the end it works kind of the same way. All right, and as you can see, I'm able to ping from the container to the other end, and from the other container to the other one, so both ends. And I'm going to show you now that I'm only using one VXLAN, and also, here. As you can see, there is only one, which doesn't have any IP configured, and I have the both beth on the host, the both pairs on the host, and the physical NIC that I'm using with the address configure. And no routes, the default route, of course, for connectivity. And that's basically it. We were able to achieve connections from different endpoints using a single VXLAN. And this can be scaled up to a very, very big amount of containers and endpoints. So, yeah. Let me go back to here. All right, so that's it. Thank you very much, everyone here. Thank you for listening. And also, thank you for all the volunteers and organizers of this room.
Any questions?
Thank you.
Yeah, hey, so we just wondering from which kernel version is this this supported in NF tables?
So with the latest bug fixes, I believe it is 6.18. We fixed some bugs in Geneve, but for VXLAN, you should be able to use it since 6.4, something like that, from the top of my mind. Maybe it's a little bit off, but if you want to use Geneve, 6.18.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Suppose that some person from neighbor room hosting eBPF will come here and ask a question: is it possible to port this implementation from NF tables to some XDP or BPF program? Is it possible?
Probably. I don't know. I'm not a BPF expert, so I don't know, but I'm pretty sure that someone could do it. It's not rocket science, to be honest.
It's just manipulation with the packet, right?
It's manipulation of the packet, in a sense. I'm not very sure that you can do it, because if I know run from BPF or BPF context, you cannot see the SKB, which is the packet representation on the kernel. And what we are doing here is attaching the metadata instructions to do the encapsulation to that SKB structure. So actually, I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe you can go to the and ask them. He might know better.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.